www.ifamilyplanning.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ, Alexandria, 1360 KNIR, New Iberia. And on FM at 89.7 KBIO, Natchitoches, and 91.1 KOJO, Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI, Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg, Altoona. In Mississippi, also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy on this glorious, beautiful, Holy Thursday. So we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and we're going to be using as a supplication the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the soul to the glorious Queen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We repeat it every week, but we are so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And here we are at the Holy Thursday, at the beginning of the Easter celebration. This may be our greatest Easter of all. Again, I think that's up to us, because God's giving. God's always giving. And, Mother, I'd like to start off with just one quote. Now, I've got several here, but I don't want to tie up the screen. So I'm going to begin with, this is a quote by Edith Stein. And it states, quote, "The bread that we need each day to grow in eternal life makes of our will a docile instrument of the divine will. It sets the kingdom of God within us, gives us pure lips, and a pure heart with which to glorify his holy name," end quote. It's not, you know, everything is in that quote, really. I mean, to glorify his holy name, again, we go back to what was Adam's job before he fell. His job was to go around all of creation, glorifying God, honoring God, giving love to God, on the level of God, due to God, only through that communion that he had and he enjoyed. And when we say he, of course, we mean Eve as well. And then to make our human will a docile instrument, I think, is, you know, Mother, we've talked about this. It's when we come to recognize that by ourselves, we can do nothing. We can't wake up in the morning by ourselves. We can't beat our heart. We can't breathe our lungs. We can't do anything without the divine will of God doing it for us. And when, I think once we come to that realization, we don't take ourselves so seriously. I remember Jesus calls us a shadow. And again, a shadow has to be produced by something. And we are. We're a shadow of our blessed Lord. Without he, we have no existence. So We're blessed to be together today, Mother. It's so nice to see you and the sisters, and love to hear from you. Hello, Mother Gabriel Marie, the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will.
Yeah, it's great being with all of you today. It's a wonderful day, Holy Thursday, special feast that we're all celebrating, especially, you know, we who are adorers, we take a lot of adoration every day. It's a big feast for us. And when I was with the Poor Clares, that was their big feast day because they were they were Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. So that was their big day of celebrating. So we celebrate because today is the day that the Eucharist was instituted. And the Last Supper, we have to just really, you know, meditate on that. And what our Lord was even suffering at that moment, knowing that Judas was going to betray him. And he loved him so much, you know, and how many times have we betrayed him? And he loves each one of us so much. You know, I was just reading that in another book this afternoon, that this man was writing about all in his ministry, how he was always trying to please God, do all these things, all these acts. You know, he had this great mission, and he said he just got worn out. He just really got worn out. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, look, all you have to think about and worry about is pleasing me. We think we have to do all these things all the time to please him, but we just have to be with him to please him. You know, he's patient and he waits. I was just reading something about patience here. This was in volume 6, April 14th, 1904. It says, my daughter, in addition to the food of love you give me, the bread of your patience, because patience and suffering love is a more solid, more nourishing and fortifying food. For if love is not patient, it can be said that it is empty, light love and no, with no substance. And therefore it can be said that the necessary materials in order to form the bread of patience are lacking. So if you give me this, I will give you the sweet bread of grace. So if we want to receive graces, if we can be patient in our suffering, patient, everybody suffers. We suffer in many different ways. The whole world is suffering right now in many, many different countries, different things happening, people struggling, and we don't know what we have to deal with in the future. And he doesn't want us to worry about that. He wants us just to please him in the moment. We just have the present moment to please him in this moment with everything we're doing, every little thing, to accept the little sufferings that he allows us to suffer with patience. That's how we grow in holiness. That's how we die to ourselves, you know, just patiently suffering and giving our whole selves to God, giving our hearts to him at every moment. I think it's so important, but, you know, we lose sight of that. We think of ourselves. We think of ourselves when we're suffering. We worry. We think of different things and not him, you know. And right now, especially this Triduum time, he wants us to really be thinking of him. Many people have lost sight of God in their lives. They hardly even go to church. And he loves each soul so, so much. He suffers for that. So we have to just try to make up for all of those who are not loving him. We've been reading the Passion book, and it talks about how much he suffered. We watched the Passion movie we finished it last night, and how much he suffered, even more than what we saw in the Passion movie. He suffered so much for us, we can't imagine, and only could he suffer that much without dying before he did die. It had to be such special grace from his father to keep him alive so he could suffer atrocious pains. Then I went on to read from volume 15, April 14th. This is, my beloved daughter of my will, you must know that when I want to do great works, works in which the whole human family is to take part, always if it wants, my usual way is to centralize all the goods and all the graces which this work contains in one single creature, so that all others may draw as much as they want of that good, as though from a fount. When I do individual works, I give limited things, but when I do works which must serve the good of all, I give things without limit. Now, how much Louisa suffered. She suffered. She was in bed all those years. She couldn't even eat. She didn't have all the pleasures that we have with food and traveling and entertainments. She was in a bed for, I think, 64 years. She didn't even drink. She didn't eat, sleep, or drink for 64 years. She suffered tremendously with patience. And so God gave her all this grace. He chose her for this because he knew that she would give her fiat. Our Lady suffered very much. And we don't have the sufferings they have, and yet we deal with it very poorly sometimes, you know. We have ways of deviating from our pains and our struggles and our sufferings. And she had no way. She could no go, you know, we don't feel right. We just take a little ride somewhere or go somewhere or get some ice cream or, you know. Luisa couldn't do all those things. She suffered patiently in bed so long a time. But look at the grace that God gave her, and through her, all the grace that we get through these writings. But Luisa had to suffer a lot for these writings to come to the world. We have to appreciate Luisa too. And next Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. That was, she was born on Divine Mercy Sunday. We celebrate her birthday. I think it was the day before you said the, her birthday would be the day before Divine Mercy Sunday.
This year.
Yeah. So celebrate Luisa's birthday and give her that honor for all that she gave to us. Want to share anything?
You know, just real quickly, Mother, you mentioned about patience. Well, I think we spoke about it a few weeks ago here on Radio Maria. Jesus calls patience the virtue of virtues. And if you think about it, and he says also, without exercising patience, we really cannot progress in the other virtues. You know, it's like having a leaky container. You can put the greatest wine or the greatest beverage in there, but if it's leaking out, you're not going to be able to retain it. He says patience. And again, I knew patience was important, but not as important as what Jesus indicates, because again, it is the catalyst to allow us to journey and to move forward. Without such, again, we wouldn't wait. So again, these little things make such a big difference. Sister?
Yeah, I actually, when Mother was talking about how sometimes we bring on our own issues with the way our thought processes go, and we focus on ourselves and we focus on other things and worry instead of focusing on Jesus. And there was a passage I read the other day that I underlined a lot of it that I wanted to read. It's from the Hours of the Passion, the 17th hour, from 9 to 10 a.m. when Jesus is crowned with thorns and then presented to the people by Pilate and is condemned to death. I'm going to read actually from the Reflections and Practices, which I think you said, Peter, was a collaboration between Luisa and St. Anibale, or was it just written by St. Anibale?
A little bit of vagueness there. We know St. Anibale's name is on it. Whether or not he was given any assistance in that, we're not quite sure, but we know that St. Anibale did write this. And again, how blessed are we to have this reflection from a saint. It's incredible.
Yeah. No, and they're great. Every single one. It's all very absolutely human. You know, you could tell he understands human nature.
And if I may add also, sister, that's why it's so important. Anyone, if they want to procure a set of the Hours of the Passion, just make sure that it does come with the reflections, because there are several editions or versions out there that do not have it, and you'd be missing an awful lot. Yeah. Last time I'm going to interrupt you, sister.
No, that's okay. Interrupt away. Okay. So he says, do we consider ourselves inferior to others? Is our mind always empty of any other thought in order to give rise to grace? Many times we do not give rise to grace by keeping our mind filled with other thoughts. Then, since our mind is not completely filled with God, we ourselves cause the devil to bother us, and maybe we even foment the temptations. When our mind is filled with God, as the devil approaches us, not finding the place toward which to direct his temptations, confused, he flees. In fact, holy thoughts have so much power against the devil that as he is about to approach us, they wound him like many swords and cast him away. Therefore, we lament unfairly when our mind is bothered and tempted by the enemy. It is our poor surveillance that pushes our enemy to assault us. He is spying on our mind in order to find little gaps and attack us. Then instead of relieving Jesus with our holy thoughts and removing the thorns from him, ungrateful, we push them into his head, making him feel the pricking more sharply. In this way, grace remains frustrated and cannot carry out the crafting of its holy inspirations in our mind. Many times we do even worse, as we feel the weight of temptations, instead of bringing them to Jesus, making of them a bundle to be burned by the fire of his love, we worry, we become sad, and speculate on those very temptations. Therefore, not only does our mind remain occupied by evil thoughts, but all our poor being remains as though soaked with them. And so it would almost take a miracle from Jesus to free us. Jesus looks at us through those thorns, and calling us, he seems to say, "Ah, my child, you yourself do not want to cling to me. If you had come to me, if you had come soon to me, I would have helped you free yourself from the bothers which the enemy brought to your mind. You would not have made me sigh so much for your return. I asked for help from you in order to be freed from thorns so sharp, but I waited in vain because you were occupied with the work that your enemy had given you. Oh, how much less tempted you would be if you came soon into my arms, fearing me and not you, the enemy would leave you immediately. My Jesus, may your thorns seal my thoughts in your mind and prevent the enemy from causing any sort of temptation." You could probably all relate to this. You know, sometimes it does feel like it takes a miracle to kind of shift our minds. But I take two things out of this that I think we can try to make good habits. The first is, you know, trying to fill our minds with holy thoughts, you know, because our minds have to have something in it. You know, I haven't been able to develop the skill of, you know, having it totally empty. You know, it's got to have something in it. We have a mind for a reason. But if it's filled with holy thoughts, then there's no room for the evil thoughts to come in, and vice versa. If our mind is filled with, you know, the junk that we choose to focus on, then there's no room for holy thoughts to come in and for the Holy Spirit to place his inspirations. And then the second thing, which I think is really, really important. I know sometimes probably many people out there can relate. I know this happens to me. Sometimes it feels like no matter what we do, we can't get these thoughts out of our minds or these temptations, especially this week we're doing a retreat in preparation for Easter. We already have a lot of prayer in our normal schedule, but there's even more time for prayer, for silence. And that could be really hard sometimes because it's, you know, sometimes ugly thoughts come into your mind, sometimes distracting thoughts, all different things come into our mind. And sometimes we don't know how to get rid of them. And what St. Anibale is telling us here, and it's so powerful. I know it works for me when I remember to do it. Invite Jesus into those thoughts. You know, don't battle those temptations yourself. Don't try to figure them out. Don't worry about it. Don't feel like I have to take care of this thought and then I can go back to prayer. No, that's your prayer at that moment. Let Jesus come in because maybe he's allowing that for a reason. Maybe there's healing that needs to go on in your soul. Maybe he needs you to see something about yourself, you know, maybe a sinful part of you that you need to just kind of come to terms with and admit and bring to his merciful heart. So don't battle it alone, you know, invite Jesus into all of it. And then you're really going to see your prayer take off.
It's resignation. I think, you know, we have so little control of what we do and during our day, but I think we do have control over that. In fact, that reminds me also, sister, if I may, a quote that our blessed Lord said, and this really is speaking that, you know, now is the time. Okay. Yesterday was gone. Tomorrow may not be here, but this is the time where we need to bring ourselves in position to give everything to God. And this comes from volume 3, April 16th, 1900, our blessed Lord speaking, quote, "Now it is not sufficient to be resigned, but the soul must be convinced that the greatest good for herself and the best way to glorify me is to always do my will. Here is the necessity of the signature of humility, because humility produces this knowledge," end quote. We have to be, whatever we think we're resigned, we're not resigned enough. Whatever we think we've given to God, we haven't given enough to God. Like you mentioned, we're full of all this stuff and the stuff keeps pouring in, so to speak. This is when we hope our container as a whole. But this is when we have to, especially during now, the beginning of the celebration of Easter, let's with a firm resolution say, "I'm going to be resigned, but Lord, it's nothing that I can do, but what I'm going to allow you to do." And we have to ask for this and God's going to do the work. And we can't do this. And then we're going to be stressed out thinking we can't do this or how can we do this? We can't, but God can if we ask him for it. Mother?
He knows how weak we are, you know, and I think my sister was saying, just bring him into all of these thoughts. Bring him into your life throughout the day, everything you do, and you're going to be thinking the right thoughts. But we forget about him. That's why we think the wrong thoughts. But if everything we're doing, we say, "Jesus, come do this in me," and realize he's within doing it, he'll get you there. He'll get you there. But we're so weak, and he understands that, you know. So don't beat yourself up about it if you have a hard time. We go back and forth. We have good intentions. And like you said before, Peter, it's our desire that makes it a reality. Everything is on desire. We desire this. We're weak. God knows we're weak. We keep falling, but he picks us up. As long as we keep having that desire to want to live in his will totally, he'll get us there. maybe on our deathbed. I think we'll get there, you know.
Because late than never, I feel like.
He knows that's what we want, but we're so weak and fragile, we just have a hard time doing it, you know, always thinking of that and always being with him and throughout the day. Of course, you know, doing his will and living in his will are two different things. Yes, we hope we do in his will throughout the day, but it's all about letting him do his will in us, to be thoughtful of that, to remind ourselves of that throughout the day. That's what's hard to keep in, to keep doing, to remember to do that, you know. I was just reading here again from volume 15. I did this work. He was talking about the work he did with Louisa and all she suffered. I just talked about that. I did this work of redemption in order to be able to elevate a creature to conceiving a man and God. I had to centralize all possible imaginable goods in her. I had to elevate her, he was talking about Our Lady, so high as to place in her the seed of the very paternal fecundity. So just as my celestial father virgin generated me within his womb with a virginal seed of his eternal fecundity, without the work of a woman, and from the same seed the Holy Spirit proceeded, in the same way with this eternal seed of the paternal fecundity, holy but virginal, my celestial mama conceived me in her virginal womb without a work of a man. The sacrosanct Trinity had to give of its own to this divine virgin so that she might conceive me, the Son of God. My holy mama could never have conceived me without having a seed. Now, since she belonged to the human race, this seed of eternal fecundity gave her the virtue of conceiving me as man. And because the seed was divine, at the same time, she conceived me as God. And just as the Holy Spirit proceeded at the same time as the Father generated me, in the same way as I was generated in the womb of my mama, the generation of all souls proceeded at the same time. So in a sense, we were all generated in the womb of Our Lady with our Lord. That's why he loves us so much. Like we're twins with Jesus. You know, we're all conceived with him. So everything that ab eterno from eternity occurred to the most holy Trinity in heaven was repeated in the womb of my dear mama. The work was immense and incalculable to create it mine. I had to centralize all goods and even myself so that all might find whatever they wanted. This is why, since the work of redemption was to be so great as to overwhelm all generations, I wanted for many centuries the prayers, the sighs, the tears, the penances of so many patriarchs and prophets and of the whole people of the Old Testament. And I did this in order to dispose them to receive a good so great and to move me to centralize in this central celestial creature all the goods which everyone was to enjoy. Now what moved this people to pray, to sigh, to make so many supplications and tears, the promise of the future Messiah. This promise was like the seed of all these tears and these supplications. Had there not been this promise, no one would have given it a thought. No one would have hoped for salvation. So all these centuries that people prayed for Jesus to come, for the Messiah to come. And now we're praying for him, for the divine will to reign, for this great new reign of this great life that Adam and Eve had before the fall. We hope it's going to be the same way as they had it before the fall. We're longing for that. The world is struggling for that right now. The church being crucified, being stretched in a sense. Everything is being stretched right now in order for this great reign of the divine will and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart to triumph. So all of this suffering that we have to endure, people all over the world have to endure, it's good. It's for our good. And we have to thank God for it, knowing that he's bringing a great thing. He's going to do great work from this, from all of this pain and suffering and this stretching in a sense, where we have to just totally, totally die and focus only on him. He's trying to gather us together and win our hearts. That's all he wants, is to win our hearts.
And also taking advantage of the words of mystics. That's the Article 67 of our catechism. I mean, you were just talking about the Last Supper. We learned from, not from Louisa, but from Mary Agreda in the City of God. I think it's book number 4, where our Blessed Lady spoke to her and said, everyone, all souls that were to be conceived were present at the Last Supper, including each and every one of us. And also, the first one to receive Holy Communion was our Blessed Mother. We're told that the angel Gabriel came down from heaven and gave our Blessed Mother the Eucharist first as Queen of the Church. I mean, how can we find this, I don't want to say stuff. How can we find this information out? We can't. But the words of mystics, it doesn't add to Revelation or complete it, but it does give us the ammunition to better understand it for a given period of time. And that's what we need right now. If we're going to raise that elevation of resignation, we need to believe, we need to trust. And God keeps showing us, here, believe, trust. And sometimes we turn our heads. Mother, sister?
I was thinking about what you opening passage, Peter, about Mother mentioned this also, that our life, we are called to be human being. And it reminded me of Psalm 139. And we talk about, you know, we are so concerned about our thinking and all this process. But let me just read to you this passage from 139. Lord, you have probed me. You know me. You know when I sit and stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. You sift through my travels and my rest. With all my ways, you are familiar. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all. Behind and before, you encircle me and rest your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, far too lofty for me to reach. So basically what we're saying is that the Lord knows our thoughts before we even have it in our mind. He knows when we sit and when I stand. We know he knows everything. And then also before, he also knows when we were created. And he said here, you formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I like this one because that is the purpose of my life. I meditated on this Lent. Why did Jesus have to suffer so much? Why does he have to go through this passion? So you watch The Passion by Mel Gibson, and it's so painful. Every time I watch that movie, it really is painful. It makes me think about, why did he have to suffer this much for me? And then what is the purpose of my life? I'm not supposed to be just be able to sleep, walk, go to school, get my career, become a religious. That's probably, this is just a means for me to become holy. And we talk about, you know, there's nothing we can do apart from God, and that we are not capable of becoming holy on our own. So I meditated on that. It has to be the divine will. It has to be to give God glory through everything that we are, not just our acts, not just our thoughts, everything. Like you mentioned, Peter, our brain, our heart, every functions in our body. And I don't think we have much time to give my reflections on the cross. I meditated today about when Jesus, the 18th hour where he embraces the cross, but I don't have enough time, so maybe later or another time. But it's really a profound meditation.
Yeah, I noticed also, I just went past my break time. Sorry, Larry. Again, this is the School of Mary, Kindergarten, the Divine Will. I'm just enthralled with what we're talking about. I lost track of time. God's taking us back. And he says, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally going back in the playground. Finally.
I'm I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, live from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. You know, this is the Easter celebration. You know, we again constantly we receive, and we give, and please, when we're giving, please remember Radio Maria in your giving. If you enjoy this program and many other like it, and even better, please give if you can. I went a bit past the break. You know, I used to have these timers here, really nice timers, like baking timers, so I'd know when to do this. But the problem is that I would forget to set the timer. So what good is the timer then? So I did away with the timers. But please forgive me for that. And I didn't mean to rush you, Sister Magdalena. Were you finished with your reflection, or did I swoop you off the...
No, Peter, it was fine. I was just like listening to Mother and Sister Francesca, and Psalm 139 came to mind, you know, because that's basically what God is telling us, that before we were born, he already knew us, and he knew all our thoughts, every act that we did, he knew it before we even did them. And before we existed, we were present in his mind. And that just reminded me. And then also, you know, Sister Francesca mentioned about our thoughts, to be careful with our thoughts. And Mother said not to be too scrupulous about it, because God already knew it and he repaired it. That's why Jesus became, the Word became flesh, because he repaired all of our thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, try to be like Sister Francesca, holy thoughts. We have to work it out. You know, desire is good, but that desire needs to bear fruit. And the fruit of that desire is to put into action as best we can, but then don't be so scrupulous about it. So my meditation today was, like I said earlier, I meditated on what is the purpose of my life? Why did God have to suffer? And then in meditation, number 18th hour of the Lord's Passion, the 24-hour Passion, this part where Jesus embraces the cross. And I will read to you what Jesus basically spoke to Louisa. He said, about the cross, when he embraced the cross, he said, "Adored cross, finally, I embrace you. You were the longing of my heart, the martyrdom of my love. But you, O cross, have delayed until now, while my steps were always towards you. Holy cross, you were the goal of my desires." Goal of my desires. That's what Jesus said. "The purpose of my existence down here. In you, I concentrate my whole being. In you, I place all my children, and you will be their life, their light, defense, custody, and strength." Now, I paused on this one. Do I want my cross to be my life? Who wants to be like all our life to be crosses? I mean, honestly, really. But this is what God wants. And I thought about this, Lord, how can I honestly desire this cross all my life? Okay, so explain to me a little bit more, Lord. So I continued reading this. And he said, "O cross, pulpit of wisdom, you alone will teach true sanctity." Oh, wow. Cross is supposed to be our teacher. He said, "You alone will form the heroes, the athletes, the martyrs, the saints." We all want to be saints. But how can we honestly ask the Lord, "Lord, you know, I want my whole life to be cross." "Beautiful cross, you are my throne. And since I have to leave the earth, you will remain in my place. To you, I give all souls as dowry. Keep them, save them. I entrust them to you." So I thought about this a little bit longer today. And I thought, okay, so I'm supposed to be cross. But why is it, Lord? Cross is hard. And then the Lord seems to reveal to me, but no, there are two ways to look at the cross. There are two ways. It is cross that can be the source of your joy or the cause of your suffering. And I continue on. And he said, and Luisa, this is Luisa's thought, I thought, he said, she said, "Ah, my Jesus, the cross is too light for your love, but the weight of our sins adds to that of the cross." And I go back to this, it was the answer to my question. And I said, okay, so the cross is too light for your love. I guess when we love God, we love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, we can love God. And we love everything that God gave us, and including our very life, which is filled with so much drama, you know, the consolation, desolation. We can't have always consolation because then we won't appreciate desolation. We can't have always desolation because then we cannot make it all the way. So the cross can be joy when we look at it, how it fulfills the purpose of God, which is to bring joy, light, and love to everyone, and life especially. But then we can also be weighed by it, by our sins, by our human will, wanting to dominate the divine will, want our will to raise above us and to forget about the divine will. And added to that meditation also, you remember the passage in the 24 hour also when Jesus was telling us that there were two kinds who cry out to him, "Crucify him, crucify him." The Eternal Father, Mother Mary, Louisa, all the saints, they also shout out, "Crucify him." And that hopefully includes me, all of us. "Crucify him," because we want to be saved. When our disposition is like that, then crosses become our joy. When we unite our crosses to Jesus, it becomes joy because we want salvation. We want to save ourselves, but also we want to save everybody. Now, the other group, on the other hand, crucify him, does not want to be saved, but they want to even manifest their evilness, if there's a word, evilness, or evil, or the bad thing. They wanted to, I don't know for what, I cannot understand that. How could they glorify evil? How can they find satisfaction in that? It's hard for me to understand, but maybe for me, a shadow of it is kind of like, you know how sometimes when somebody irritates us and we want revenge and we kind of feel like, oh, I will be satisfied when I get back, when I take back. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a get even, that kind of satisfaction, which is not necessarily good, but somehow it satisfies what is evil in us. That might be it, but I don't know. It's hard to explain in my thoughts, but that's what I thought.
Now, I think it was Father Malachi Martin, who's also a medical doctor, who said that, you know, when it comes to like people doing atrocious evil acts, that like 98% of these acts are inspired, that they're demonically inspired. Because again, this, like you said, sister, and this is not our nature. How do we know, like, when at a young age we're not taught, how do we know not to like to hit our parents or to do really bad things? I'm talking about, you know, before we get into that area where we can rationalize it, which we shouldn't, but we have this innate ability to understand, you know, right from wrong. Why do we, as a child, why do we not take things off the shelf and run out the store? We don't do it because we know it's wrong. So we had that understanding. But again, a lot of Father Malachi Martin talked about a lot of the mental illness and a lot of the evil inclinations are really demonically inspired. So again, the more we have God in our presence, the more that these are going to dissipate. You know, this is not normal. This is not the plan that God had. Of course, this is an offshoot, so to speak, of the fall of Adam. Mother?
Yeah, I see, you know, when Louisa asked our Lord how he could suffer so much, endure so much suffering in his passion, and he said, because I didn't think of the suffering, I thought of the consequences, what it was, the fruit it was going to bear. He loved so much. He had such a tremendous love that he kisses the cross, shows it in the Passion movie too. He kisses the cross when he receives it. And watching the Passion movie this year, I realized how much more you get from reading the Passion book than even watching the Passion movie. How much more he suffered than it shows in that movie. There's no book written about his passion like the Passion book he gave to Louisa. So I encourage everybody to meditate on that book, you know. But that when we are suffering, we're thinking of ourselves. We're thinking, how long is this going to last? How much longer do I have to suffer this, you know? But even Louisa wanted to suffer more because she was thinking of just really alleviating our Lord's suffering. She was compassionate for him. You know, we have to think of him. He loves souls. Are we willing to suffer for souls to be saved because we love our Lord so much? And we know that he loves these souls so much. Are we willing to suffer? If we think when we're suffering that that's what's happening, we're saving souls, we're helping to transform the world. He continues his redemptive suffering in each one of us if we let him. And we realize that's what's happening. So we have to look at the purpose behind the suffering. If we look at the purpose behind the suffering, it's so much easier to suffer. You can handle it in a much better way. You know, there's great good that's coming out of it. It doesn't hurt as bad either then, you know, because you have a purpose, you know, for the suffering.
True. And the cross actually is set up sort of like a mediator too. It allows us to rationalize, those setbacks we have in our lives. Because remember, God's not going to allow, his permissible will is not going to allow something at the time that appears negative to occur, unless he's going to bring a greater good out of it. So again, we have those instances, better things are yet to come.
And we can know that he's promised he will never give us more than we can endure. He gives you the grace to endure whatever you have to endure. So don't worry that you won't be able to handle the suffering.
Well said.
Yeah. So as Mother was saying, it's really important to just read the Passion book this Lent. And there truly is no book like the Passion book. And along with reading the hours, it's also really important to just stop and to reflect on the reflections and practices. And today I like to read a passage from the fourth hour from 8 to 9 p.m., the Eucharistic Supper. My sweet love, always insatiable in your love, I see that as you finish the legal supper together with your dear disciples, you stand up and united with them, you raise a hymn of thanksgiving to the Father for having given you food, wanting to repair for all the lack of thanksgiving of the creatures and for all the means he gives us for the preservation of corporal life. This is why, O Jesus, in anything you do, touch, or see, you always have on your lips the words, "Thanks be to you, O Father." I too, Jesus, united with you, take the words from your very lips, and I will say, always and in everything, thank you for myself and for all, in order to continue the reparations for the lack of thanksgiving. And right here in this passage, we can see that Jesus makes reparations for a lack of thanksgivings. And how many times do we, especially us Americans, who are so privileged with so many blessings, and with so much food and clothing and proper housing, how many times do we take those things for granted, wherever we are in the world? And it's really important to say, thank you, Jesus, for every blessing you have given me. And not to only thank Jesus for the good things in life, but for also the unpleasant things in life that he allows. And whenever we may get temptations in life or any suffering or cross, just say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing this in my life. And then that will cause the devil to flee. And then there are some passages I like to read from the Reflections and Practices following this hour. Jesus is hidden in the host to give life to all. In his hiddenness, he embraces all centuries and gives light to all. In the same way, hiding ourselves in him, we will give life and light to all with our prayers and reparations, even to the heretics and to the unfaithful, because Jesus does not exclude anyone. What should we do in our hiddenness? In order to become similar to Jesus Christ, we must hide everything in him. Thoughts, glances, words, heartbeats, affections, desires, steps, and works, even our prayers. We should hide them in the prayers of Jesus. And just as loving Jesus embraces all centuries in the Eucharist, we will also embrace them. Clinging to him, we will be the thought of every foot, the work of every arm. By doing this, we will divert from the heart of Jesus all the evils which all the creatures would do to him, trying to substitute for this evil with all the good we can do, and pressing Jesus to give salvation, sanctity, and love to all souls. And I'm going to skip towards the end of the Reflections and Practices. Oh, my sweet love, in this hour you transubstantiated yourself into bread and wine. Please, O Jesus, let all that I say and do be a continuous consecration of yourself in me and in souls. Sweet life of mine, when you come into me, let my every heartbeat, desire, affection, thought, and word feel the power of the sacramental consecration, so that, being consecrated, all my little being may become as many hosts in order to give you souls. O Jesus, sweet love of mine, may I be your little host in order to enclose all of yourself in me like a living host. And reading the end of this Reflections and Practices for the fourth hour, it reminded me of when Jesus was telling Luisa in one of the volumes that when we live in the divine will, we become living hosts. And it also reminds me of when Jesus told Luisa that when we receive the Eucharist, he's only with us for like 15 to 30 minutes sacramentally. But living in the divine will, he can be with us continuously, and how living in the divine will is the greatest gift God could ever give to mankind. So it's very important this day when Jesus instituted the gift of the Eucharist at the Last Supper to say, thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Eucharist, because the day will come when we won't have the Eucharist anymore with us, probably. And it's very important to not take the Eucharist for granted, to not take any gifts and blessings Jesus gave us for granted, to praise and thank God in all circumstances of life, in the good and the bad, and to realize that we should hide ourselves in the wounds of Jesus and to make reparation for all the hurt that the world is giving him.
Amen. Hi, Grace. You know, it's interesting too. You know, we're talking about the importance of the hours of the Passion. You know, and we can throw Father Iannuzzi in there too. He concurs there. He says there's the greatest progress can be made in the divine will through the hours of the Passion, because it's an active participation. So again, what we have is way beyond our understanding of how great the gift is that we have, as well as the gift of the divine will. Hello, sister.
Mother. Switching the mic here back and forth. Our Lord was saying in volume 21, there was not one pain that I suffered that did not have its origin in the human will. And I subjected myself to everything in order to rehabilitate it once again in the kingdom of the supreme will. Even in my passion, I wanted to suffer being stripped in the scourging, denuded on the cross, and stretched in such a horrible way that my bones could be counted amid confusion, abandonment, and unspeakable bitterness. All this was nothing other than the outpouring of the human will that had stripped man of all goods, and with his poisonous breath had covered him with the confusion and opprobrium, to the point of transforming him in a horrible way and of rendering him an object of mockery for his many enemies. Daughter, if you want to know all the evils that the human will has done, study my life well, number my pains one by one, and you will read the black characters of the noxious story of the human will. You will feel such horror in reading it that you will be content with dying rather than letting one single syllable of it enter into you. So we can't imagine what he suffered for us. We just really have to give our whole hearts to him and ask him to just tell him we want to love him with his own love. You don't have to feel it, but desire it. Desire to love him with his own love. Say that over and over during these, especially during this time of Triduum. Let him know how much you love him. And he will be so consoled by that, Sister.
Right.
So I'm just gonna just quickly just say one thought, since the passage I picked is kind of long. We don't have that much time left. This is from volume 21, March 3rd, 1927. And the part that was interesting was that Jesus had like two different examples to explain about the divine will. One of them was he was comparing between one who is healthy and one who is sick. And he was trying to compare it with what's it like when you're in the will of God and you do everything with the will of God compared to when you do everything, when you do human acts. And what was interesting in part of this, he said that, that so going out of my will has been the cause of his illness. Returning into it and letting it reign will be the cause of the return of the order of happiness into the human acts and of letting it take its attitude in the acts of the creature. And it brought to mind, like further on, he talks more about this. It brought to mind how the movie that they did on Saint Faustina, we were talking about Divine Mercy Sunday, and it brought me to mind that part how Saint Faustina spoke with another sister saying that our distrust hurts Jesus. And many times when we think about that, when we think about sins that we have already confessed, but we keep on, thinking about it, we're not trusting in God's mercy. And that's a tactic of the devil that we have to be careful about. Yes, we have to learn from our mistakes in the past and not dwell on them and not dwell on past sins, because we got to be careful, because that's another way that the devil takes us away from the divine will. We're focusing on the self, me, 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 rather than Jesus. And that's part of the divine will. We have to be nothing. So we have to have all of our attention on Jesus. And especially now in the Easter Triduum, this is a wonderful time for us just to do that.
Well said. Yeah, very, very good information. I think it was Father Brown who reminded us, you know, today is crucified between two thieves, tomorrow and yesterday. Wait, yeah, tomorrow and yesterday. Because again, it devours our time. We have only now. Sister?
I just want to say one thing really quickly. When Sister was talking, it reminded me of something that Mother read to us a while back. It was something that Father Michael Gately wrote. And he said, the best way to console the heart of Jesus is through trust. And that to me always remained with me. So especially in these 3 days of the Triduum, when we don't know, when we kind of like feeling dry, or we just don't know how to console the heart of Jesus. He's been through so much for us and we feel so little. Just run in his arms and trust him and love him and receive that love and give it back to him. That's all we have to do.
I think if we just picture ourselves, like she says, sitting on his lap, hugging him, that's all we can do. Put yourself on the lap of Jesus and you'll console him that way, because we want feelings. We want to feel like we're really loving him like he's supposed to be loved. We're really thanking him for all he did for us. And we don't know how to do it. You know, we just feel like we can't thank him enough. We can't love him enough. And that's good. That's how we're supposed to feel. That's how he wants us to feel. Just desire to love him, desire to be compassionate with him. And he sees your desire of your heart and it becomes a reality.
It's true. You know, no coincidence also that the last devotion given Divine Mercy, the motto is Jesus, I trust in you.
And that brings me to the point too, that next Sunday, Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, make sure you go to confession, prepare for Divine Mercy Sunday. You get your baptismal innocence all back that day. If you receive communion and you're merciful to others and you pray some prayers for venerate the Divine Mercy image and pray for the Holy Father and you know that you're in.
That's a good deal.
It's a good really deal. Good deal. But that's the problem, Mother. I think this great deal is not known enough. I think I know many parishes, you know, the faithful are unaware of the tremendous benefits you know, of the remission of sin, the punishment of sin, all that is taken away. And then really what we have to do is focus on that year from that day until the next Divine Mercy Sunday. And of course, we have the promise of Jesus that those who are living in the divine will, again, to what capacity, we're not sure, but I would think it would have to be fully, we avoid purgatory. I mean, these are promises that are so, they sound so unbelievable, but are they unbelievable? Who's making the promise? Somebody very believable.
God is very generous. He's very generous.
He is. And he's got a great sense of humor too. He created us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten, and it truly is a kindergarten. You know, Mother, I'd like to end with the last words of Louisa. Of her spiritual testimony. This was on March 4th, 1947. Louisa is very important because she's been chosen by God throughout all eternity to bring this gift, to usher this gift in and to give it to us. And this is what she says. And we can actually emulate this also because we're called as being close to that cog to do what Louisa did to the best of our ability. Not, of course, what she did, but along those lines. And this is what Louisa said, quote, "This is the road that I must now take. It is the road that the divine will has prepared for me. It is the road of my victory. It's the way of my glory, which will unite me with the immense happiness of the divine will. It is my road. It's the road that I prepared for you. It's the road that I will keep reserved for all the souls who ever want to live in this divine will." End quote. It's all here. It's all through Radio Maria. All glory and honor. Thanks be to God. Have a blessed Easter to everyone.
Okay, good. Thank you.